Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Do you ever feel like you're settling? For your foundation, that is. Maybelline's new Instant Age Rewind Eraser Foundation doesn't settle into fine lines and wrinkles. With SPF 20 and moisturizing Pro Vitamin B5, this foundation not only provides medium coverage and a natural finish, but also protects and nourishes your skin. And the best part? The blurring sponge tip applicator makes application a breeze. Say goodbye to cakey, uneven foundation, and hello to a flawless, radiant complexion. Try our new foundation today and see the difference for yourself at amazon.com/instant-eraser-foundation.
Welcome to the Nerdist Podcast, number 599. I'm Chris Hardwick. I'm here with Kyle Clark.
Hi, everybody.
Kyle, tell us about your perfect Sunday.
I like to sleep late. Sort of wait until the warmth of the sunshine.
I was talking about ice cream, you twat.
Oh. I still like to sleep late and then go to the freezer.
I just wanted to get angry.
Rub it all over my naked body.
I just wanted to go from NPR voice into...
It's almost like a Love Songs on the Coast voice.
Love Songs.
That lady, the best voice ever on radio.
Joe from La Mirada just wants Bernice to know that he's thinking about her.
And we're in Christmas Love Songs on the Coast, so they have to like shoehorn a Christmas song in. That's the best time.
Last Christmas by Wham.
We're going to play that for you right now.
Which is sort of a breakup song. I don't know what the message to Bernice might be at the moment.
I worry that maybe when you come home, you guys are going to have some sort of altercation. I just hope you guys can fix it during this Christmas time period.
You know, Keith out there just wants to say to Brenda that he's
tired of her shit.
Can't stay hard inside her.
And every time he looks at her, he just thinks about his dead complaining mother rotting away in the ground.
Here's Cats in the Cradle. Love Songs on the Coast.
I told you, what do you think about Cats in the Cradle, where I want the last lyric in that song in the verse to be, "My son turned out to be a dick."
As I hung up the phone,
just
it occurred to
no
me,
lesson,
my
just,
son was a piece of shit.
Problem?
It was a real piece of shit.
Yeah. We could re-edit that. You know who else is messy but clean?
Rob Riggle.
Yeah.
On the podcast today. One of the funniest people we know.
It's true.
Promoting Dumb and Dumber 2, which is in theaters now. Riggle's a riff monster.
He is.
It should be Rob Riffle.
Oh, that'd be a good name for him.
Yeah, I think so.
I feel like
if
he
this
missed
was the
an opportunity
80s and he
there.
Were doing the stand-up circuit in the 80s, he could be Rob Riffle.
I can see that now.
So here we go on the Riffle Podcast, number 599, with Rob Riffle.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
An amazing podcast to have on Veterans Day.
Exactly.
Rob Riggle, what are you doing?
Hi.
What are you doing to celebrate Veterans Day besides coming on at midnight?
That's it, man. That's how I lined it up.
You've rolled it down. That's
yeah,
how you're rolling
it. I did. Well, I did a phone interview this morning about 6 a.m. for some folks back in Kansas City. The Johnny Dare Show. He's a good guy. Supports our charity. Then I went and did my daughter's school assembly for Veterans Day.
What did you have to do in the assembly?
A full karate demo. And they didn't
on the spot.
They didn't ask for it. But as it turns out, the kids loved it. Faculty was not. I think they might have been a little put out.
Well, during the principal's talk about community,
to come out and challenge the principal.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy.
That's right. Yeah. I go, hey, kids, what'd you think of Principal Johnson's speech? I go, am I right? And they were like, boo, yeah.
And then
I go, who wants to see some high-performance karate?
And when all the kids, you grab the principal by the tie, and when all the kids start doing their thumbs down like a Roman.
Yeah, like Caesar.
Yeah.
Then you got, I did, because I gave the kids the choice. I go, live or die, live or die, thumbs up or down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you got to beat the shit out of them.
Mr. Riggle, I did not agree to this. Then I mock him for a little while.
Just go along with it.
The kids are loving it.
Yeah, yeah.
You're a great heel. Stay with me on this. Stay with me on this.
The blood is a good touch. Hey, kids, I've never heard a pussy talk so much. And then you just start delivering blows to the chest.
Then I went on a big diet. Yeah, yeah. And then I said, and now you can say pussy on Comedy Central,
that's
apparently,
right.
Kids.
Thank you. Yes, yes, you can. It's okay now. It's okay.
It is?
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
You don't have to make it a reference to a cat anymore?
Well, you can't refer to the anatomical. You can just say, like, you're being a pussy, because they would never bleep calling someone a dick, but they would bleep pussy, and then...
That's sexist.
And then Amy Schumer's show stood up and were like, hey, that doesn't seem fair. And so they said, oh, you're right. And so now you can say it.
Way to go, Amy.
Yes.
Yes.
Way to go.
She's funny. I like Amy Schumer.
Good show.
It is a good show.
She's fantastic.
Very funny lady.
I get to hang with her a little bit during the Oddball tour. She was really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah?
There's so many great, fun comics that you like that you never... I mean, you only ever hang out because of work reasons, just because socially you just get very busy and other people live on different coasts and, you know, but it was really fun. Yeah. Yeah, it was really fun. Are you touring at all? Are you doing any touring?
No, you know, I kind of have put stand-up on hold for a little while. Last time I did, what I would say, a formal set was the ESPYs, which was, two summers ago.
Oh, wow.
And that's been it. I just, family kind of took over, and I was lucky enough to get the Fox NFL pregame show thing. So that kind of compensated financially for the stand-up,
right,
being on the road.
Oh.
And so that helped, because, you know, I was just, the return on investment wasn't there. I was out on the road all the time, and I was missing the kids and da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
So it was just time to be home more right now.
At the ESPYs, did you do your beat the shit out of the principal bit?
Oh, no, right. I did do karate, but I didn't
Let's beat the shit out of the commissioner.
What's the audience like at the ESPYs? Like, it seems like a tough crowd.
It's tight. It's tight. And I don't, you know, they're a tough crowd, and the reason they're tough is because they're athletes, you know, and they're out of their element. You know, when an athlete's at their best is when they're on the field or on the court. That's when they're at their best.
Right.
Not when you put them in a tuxedo and make them walk a red carpet.
Feels like doing stand-up at the VMAs.
And then, and then you make fun of them.
Yeah.
You know, because then they're sitting there going, I don't get any of this. I don't like any of this. So their default mode, generally speaking, is tough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they want a tough exterior. They want an intimidating exterior, because that's what they use on the court. And then you put them out of their comfort zone.
Yeah, the football court.
Yeah, exactly, the football court. And then they do that. They shut down on you. So it takes a lot to get the crowd.
To really get them.
Yeah. And the thing is, I don't know why, but I went back and watched Seth Meyers and some of these guys who hosted before me. And they destroyed the room. But if you watched it on television, you thought, well, it's not going all that well, you know, or they're not giving it up. And the truth is totally the opposite. I don't know if they do a great job of editing that show.
Because they'll
show the joke and show the punchline, and then they'll cut to the crowd, and they'll pick the one guy in the crowd who's sitting there going, oh, I hate this.
They always do that. I never understand when they're editing comedy why they cut to people
who are not enjoying it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but I mean, that's the thing. That's why they have people specific who are good at, directing live comedy shows or something like that. Like, they don't think they just show, oh, then you seems, show someone in the audience.
No,
they don't think, find someone
it,
laughing.
It seems like a pretty common sense thing to, they might as well just, cut away to people waiting for the bus, you know?
That would be even better.
Just an exterior. An
not
exterior.
At the show.
During day.
Yeah. And it would be someone laughing maniacally.
Yeah, exactly. Or just an old-timey villain with an oil a hat and the mustache, and he's just about to push the plunger down onto an old-timey dynamite thing.
Or a smash cut to Ferris Bueller's classroom.
Yes. Oh,
yeah. Exactly.
All those different...
Slack-jawed.
Yeah, the ESPYs would be pretty rough. I mean, especially... There, I would have no purpose there whatsoever. So the thought of having to get up and talk about sports in front of a sports crowd, to me, is one of the most terrifying.
Well, if they started covering Quidditch, then you can go.
Then I could go do it.
You can go give the award for the best Quidditch player.
I could go, yeah, I could go, which it's going to
be category,
fucking Gryffindor again.
Yeah. They are it's starting to happen. There are, it's just field hockey, right?
Quidditch?
Yeah, like people playing in real life.
It's from Harry Potter.
Of course.
Why didn't you, Jesus Christ, Rob.
Yeah, you have kids.
The fuck?
You have kids, Rob.
How
you
dare
think
you?
I'm going to let him read a Sorcerer Devil book? You must be out of your mind.
Witchcraft.
I know about these things, guys. Yeah. I know.
I mean, when Ron and Hermione smear themselves with blood and they ass fuck over a fire, I mean, maybe
I
that's not
proud
appropriate.
I was pretty proud of myself for getting Quidditch right. I wasn't sure if I was going to say it correctly.
How dare you get smug about your own? It was pretty good. I just want to give it up for me.
Give it up for me real quick. I saw half of one movie.
I don't know, but I nailed the Quidditch thing. I nailed it.
This week on Jonah's podcast, Give It Up For Me.
Give It Up For Me.
Jonah talks about some things that he probably should have known and then takes credit for.
Yeah, exactly. And the things I didn't say.
Yeah.
I'm pretty proud of that sometimes.
Hey, guys, how about all the times I didn't back over an old lady?
Yeah.
Hey, Bart, what about all the times I didn't wear a tutu to school? No one ever brings those up. So what else are you... So Dumb and Dumber's coming out
soon.
Dumb
and Dumber's coming out this Friday.
And you're really funny in it. And and there's a recurring gag that I fucking love that I don't want to spoil, but it's a good gag.
Oh, good. Well, I'm glad you liked it. That means a lot. It was a fun movie. Jim and Jeff are back as Harry and Lloyd, and it's 20 years to the day the first one came out.
No
that's
way.
Weird.
Does that cut like a knife or what? That's 20 years.
Fuck.
That's strange.
20
guys,
years
we're gonna,
to the day the
we're
first
gonna
one
die
came out.
Someday.
Yeah. It's over, guys. This is it. This is a farewell podcast.
You're going to school assemblies.
Wait, right. So it came out in 94. Then what came out in 74 that if like they had a sequel in 94 would have blown us away?
Well, like, you know what did come out in 74 and it's not related, but Young Frankenstein came out.
That was 74.
Jesus, that's
holy
right.
Shit. Oh yeah, when you start doing the backwards math.
Yeah, that's the weird part because it's like in 94 they're like Young Frankenstein 2, everyone went fuck you. But for some reason Dumb and Dumber 2, everyone was like yes.
Well, they tried.
I'm excited.
What was 54?
54,
Marty.
Was that Marty?
55, maybe.
I don't know, but it was roughly 20 years.
Thank you.
Yes.
Well, they didn't
give it up for Rob.
Actually, they did do it. They did sort of do a sequel to Young Frankenstein. It was. I think it was more of a tonal sequel. They did Sherlock Holmes's Smarter Brother, which was
right.
Not.
I love it.
Which was not.
Not good?
Not good.
Mm-mm. No, bummer.
No,
because it's a great premise.
Yeah, and it's Gene Wilder, and it's. It just does, and I know at the time they were probably like, well, this is the same kind of wacky.
Oh, that was after the split, right? After like Gene Wilder and Mel Brooks stopped working together.
Was it?
Yeah, I think so. Because they got into like a lot of fights on Young Frankenstein or whatever came second, Blazing Saddles or Young Frankenstein.
Well, they were the same year.
The same year.
I think it was 74.
I guess like they start getting into more and more arguments about stuff.
Well, that's a lot to work together in one year.
Yeah,
you need a break.
Yeah, that's true.
Especially when you got creative juggernauts going at it. Like
yeah, exactly.
Right.
Oh my God! A movie like that just doesn't. How do you? It's not possible anymore.
You don't think so?
I know it's possible. I just say that, but and it's
also the mural at the Fox lot.
No,
they had a Mel Brooks day on the Fox lot. They have one. You know how they have that like Star Wars mural on the side of one of the sound stages. Now there's a huge Young Frankenstein mural and with like Mel Brooks off to the side, and they have a plaque there. Yeah,
I love that.
I've only seen pictures of it, but it's fucking gorgeous. It's huge.
You know, we're just getting to the place where, I mean, not everyone, but we in our lives, where it's just harder and harder to be surprised by something, and we're not getting those first experiences anymore. Like, when you first saw Young Frankenstein, we were young, and just hadn't seen, I mean, of course, America hadn't either really seen anything like it, but it's just so many things, it's just harder and harder to be surprised.
You're right, and I remember when Dumb and Dumber came out, the first one, in 94, it was such a wonderful... I don't know, like you said, something fresh, something you hadn't seen, but characters you hadn't seen before and taken to such extremes and doing such clearly stupid stuff. So it had a slapsticky, but at the same time, very funny, original feel to it. So, and I don't, you know, look, this one,
as far as Dumb and Dumber 2 goes, you know, it's a laugher. I think you'll laugh throughout the whole thing. So I think they did a good job, you know, taking 20 years off and coming back.
They misspelled 2 in the title. Did anyone mention that?
One of the R's is kind of fucked up,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. I don't know.
That's part of the joke, guys. I don't know if you...
You think bad spelling is a joke? I mean, you know, the education...
It's funny because it's sad.
If your daughter brought home a report card and she got an F because she spelled 2 T-O and it wasn't the correct usage, would you laugh at that?
Yeah, what if the F was backwards?
I mean, seriously.
Of course I wouldn't laugh.
You're going to have to come down on her because that's how the world works.
I feel like you're reading way too much into it. I mean, I think it was a joke. I think 2 T-O was a joke.
That illiteracy is a joke, Rob.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
They should actually say, I bet most people because of the internet basically shows you that most people don't know how to spell. Yes. Most people probably don't know.
Well, I've talked about this too. The Twitter police were out there on me.
Yeah.
Because I remember putting out something about
it's 2-0, Rob.
Nice try, Dunsky. It's 2-0. And I'm like, actually, don't go see the movie because you're an idiot and you wouldn't get it.
Actually, it's T. Actually, it's T-O. No, it's just T-O. Yeah. It's just T-O.
For our purposes.
But what else are you? What else are you working on?
Well, Fox NFL pregame show. I do little bits on that.
What's that like?
That's fun. It really is. It's kind of. It's. I'm on the hook every week for a 2-minute sketch, but it has to be PG, and I mean hard PG.
Right.
Not PG-13.
Right.
PG. And it has to be football-centric, and I can't talk about any of the bad stuff going on in the NFL.
So
the lane is narrow, my friend. It is a very narrow lane. And, you know, 22...
Betty White, go long. Well, that's all we got.
Yeah. Thanks. See you next week. Here are my picks.
It'll take her about 2 minutes to get to the other end of the field.
Yeah. So it's, you know, and it's 22 weeks in a row. You know, there's no break. You know, you just got to come up with it every week. Jeez. But at the same time, it's fun. You know, I get to write a sketch and I work with Bennett Weber, who's a wonderful writer, and Chris Peasy, who's the producer, the three of us. It's just the three of us. And every week we come up with something and create it and we have fun doing it. So it's good. It's good.
Do you call him Easy Peasy?
I do. I call him Easy Peasy, Greasy Peasy. Nice and peasy, squeeze my peasy. anything that goes with peasy.
Then you should call Bennett Steven Weber. I don't know why.
I like it.
Yeah.
I will.
Different nickname.
Anytime I can squeeze Steven Weber into anything, count on it. I actually did. I did a tiny little arc on Wilfred, and Steven Weber was on during that time. So I actually got to work with Steven Weber during that time. Yeah.
He's funny, and he's got a great. Did he kind of backed off Twitter a little bit?
Yeah, though? He's not tweeting as much anymore.
He had a Twitter fever when I was around him.
Yeah,
he was all about. Oh,
he's hilarious.
And then he was trying to hook and jab with you, and I'd be like, Steven, I don't want to do a Twitter fight. I have no interest in Twitter fighting. And then you just send out salvos like, suck it, Riggle. Yeah, and I'd be like, I didn't say anything to you. I don't have a problem here.
Stop and
people would write in and go, you got smoked, Riggle. Don't even get up, bro. And I'd be like, I don't know what you're talking about.
No one to stay down.
Yeah, I was like, I didn't start. I don't have any fight in this.
And by the way, I don't know if telling someone to suck it is really it's
kind of a general burn. It's not even a deep cut.
It's not a knockout punch.
Exactly.
that's just a chest bump at best.
At best, it's a parting middle finger. It really doesn't care much.
That's not the.
And then I wouldn't engage. And I think he was kind of baffled by that. He'd be like, "All right, I guess you hate me." I'm like, well, sure. "No, I just don't see the point in trying to have a...
You know this entire thing's on your side, right? From start to finish.
Right. I was like, I don't know where I'm going wrong here. What am I doing wrong?
I find there's a certain... And I don't mean this of Steven Weber, but in general, I feel like I've been noticing a lot of people lately who clearly start stuff, and then when you're like, all right, let's do this, they're like, whoa, what the fuck? We're here because of what you said out of nothing.
Yeah. Watch the signals, bro, because you're sending some hardcore signals here.
I'm bad at that. I'm bad at not knowing the jab, like the friendly jab over the insulting remark.
Yeah. The art of shit talk, it is an art. It's an art form, I think, especially for guys, because you have to know how to give a hard time without crossing lines.
Yeah.
And – I found this in my fantasy football league. There are guys that grew up around other guys that know how to engage with a little banter, but not make it personal. Not talk about spouses or children or mothers.
Right.
You know, those. That's what. And then there are guys that have no concept of how to play with other guys.
Right.
And I found that out in my fantasy league because I remember the first game. I was like, "All right, suckers, stand by for the ass whooping of a lifetime." You know, just as a general fuck you salvo.
That's a
good initial offering.
Yeah,
that is a cork on the end of the sword.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. And it comes back with, "I'm going to bang your mother, Riggle." You know, slow your roll. What the fuck are you talking about?
He knows her name.
That's crazy talk, you know?
Yeah. Well, there's some...
Learn how to do this.
There's some people that you should just, like... Sarcasm is a large battle axe that they do not know how to wield and will end up breaking everything and killing everyone near them. It's like, you know, it is like a, "Hey there, what's up there, monkey pants?" And then someone's like, "Hey, is that why your wife cheated on you?" Yeah. Whoa, yeah, exactly. Why do we go from A to F? Yeah.
I told you that in confidence.
Yeah, yeah.
You're my friend.
Just like that guy who banged your wife.
No!
No!
Why would you stop already? I'm banging you. Why would you do this to me?
I'm down. I once a guy
uncle.
Tried.
Uncle, fuck!
Yes, you fucked your uncle too. Please,
I'm begging you.
Growing up, a guy tried to be like, he's like, "Yeah, I fucked your mother last night." And I was like, "No, you didn't. You don't know my mom." What? And he was like, "Fuck you, fucking faggot!"
Yeah, doesn't know. I'm sure I've said this before, but the best one was, and I think its origin is Mike Furman. I think this was the Mike Furman defense, which I ended up using a couple times, and it always was great because they never, because if someone says that, they're already kind of not all, they're not super sharp,
right?
So when you hit them, if someone goes, "Hey, I told you fuck your mom," I'm like, "Hey, that's great. Listen, as long as she comes, you know, it's like, she's my mom and I love her. I just want to make sure she has an orgasm. You don't, my mom doesn't come, then we have a problem." Yeah, yeah. And they're now always like, "I don't.
You can't take all my
gross, bro."
Like,
that is.
"I
awesome.
Want to fuck your mom. Why not? She's beautiful.
Yeah,
she can cook. She's amazing.
She's a good lady. She's a
good woman.
Yeah, you should be so lucky." Yeah,
I would, but it's weird. So you have to.
Yeah, you have to. "Tell me about it, new dad."
But do you find that? You have to find that too, though. In whenever you go out and about, I mean, do you find that social norms or social people don't understand social cues anymore, or I don't know. There used to just be people just kind of got it. I feel like more and more people just don't get it socially. Well, I get so many people who come up and first thing, and you know, most, now I'm going to preface this by saying the majority of people who want to engage with me out on the street are very nice and wonderful. Yeah. So that being said, there are a handful of people who come up and they go, "Not funny."
Yeah.
But not like, not to fight me, as just offering a critique, like, "Not funny in the goods. I didn't appreciate the character."
Yeah. Just trying to keep it real.
Yeah.
Just trying to be real with
like
you.
Like, I needed that. Like, I needed their critique or their approval or their notes.
Yeah.
It is weird.
And I can't lose it. I can't go, "Why don't you go fuck yourself?" Yeah. I can't do that. What I have to do is go, "Hey, all right, dynamite. Good
noted."
I have to put a smile on it and walk away. But just know, if you ever come up and do that to me on the street, I hate you.
Yeah, I don't. I don't. You know, fortunately, people are very nice. But I have had that. I have had that before. One guy did come up to me. After I wrote a book a couple years ago, and after it came out, this guy came up and he was like, and I was with a group of people, and he came up and he was drunk at a conference in San Francisco, and he goes, "Hey, I read your book. I mean, you know, come on. You got to know. Come on. It was, you know, not great."
Jesus. And that's what he gives you?
Yeah.
What are you supposed to, and by the way, what does he think you're supposed to do with that?
Well, yeah. I truth-sauced him, and I was like, "Oh, you know, you're drunk and you're rude, and I don't appreciate you coming up." And then he was like,
"You had the, but see, you're smart.
Come on.
And you have good emotional intelligence, because in that moment, I'm too Midwestern. I would have been like, I'm really sorry you feel that way.
Sometimes, a lot of times I would be that way. Like, oh yeah, no worries. You know, like yeah. It's not for everyone. That's totally fine. But
that's some nice boundaries. Chris.
I think there was something about him being. I think there was something about him sort of like being obnoxious and drunk that just activated something in me, and I was like, oh, this completely gives me the green light to not let the guy off the hook. So I wasn't aggressive, but I was just like, yeah, that's a rude thing to say to someone, and no one asked you to come up here, and, you know, like, you didn't have to come over
good
here.
Good for
yeah.
you.
That's and,
good.
And it was cool. Like, it was kind of a cool, and then he just sort of, he left kind of like, ha, come on, I mean, you know, it was really,
but
it
good
was,
for you, because I wish I had that ability to be in the moment and react in a very honest way like that. But I don't. I always go, okay.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way.
There's something about people who think that, and listen, I don't need everyone to like what I do.
Exactly.
I don't care. It's fine.
Exactly.
You don't like it. That's fine. But some people don't understand. They're like, oh, you can't handle honesty. It's like, no one asked you, you know, like,
I don't.
Honesty is, what did you think of this? I didn't like it. Fine.
Yeah.
Honesty is not, hey, guy, I don't know that I'm just coming up to you. Your fucking face is dumb.
Yeah.
Just honest.
I don't like
laid it down.
I don't like the comparison stuff that people do nowadays, too. It's like they have to let you know that, like, when I was, like, at that festival over the weekend, it's like I was signing a thing for a kid, and then, like, he's like, you're really funny, man. I was like, oh, wow, thanks. He's like, not as funny as Kumail. And I go, cool. Like,
again, yeah. It's that thing where, what do you want me to do with that?
Yeah.
Well, I honestly think,
how do you want me to react?
I think some people, I actually think sometimes, ironically, it comes from a good place in that he feels comfortable enough with you and feels like he knows you like a friend because he's watched you or listened to you so much. And sometimes I think people say something to kind of knock you down so they don't feel like they're just kissing your ass and that they're trying to be real with you. So I actually weirdly don't think it's always
comes from a douchey place.
But that's why
I go back to...
They just don't know that they're not your friends for real.
They don't have the social skill sets, though, to navigate those waters. But you're right. There is that. But I've had people come up and go, hey, Riggle, you're not fat anymore. As a compliment. And I'm like...
You were a fucking blimp for a while there, buddy.
They go, keep it up. So it's like they're being positive, but I'm like, okay.
I think also in your particular case, you play a lot of characters who are kind of dicks.
Oh, they're huge
and
dudes.
So I think a lot of actual dicks connect with those characters, and so they want to it's like them giving it back to you. Like they're bonding with you. Yeah. Like you're dick
bonding. Hey, bro. Yeah. Like that. I know. We know each other.
We know each other.
We know each other.
Yeah, fucked your mom. I don't know you. You know?
Posting.
I think you're right about that. I do think you're right about that because I do see a lot of people out there, too, that look at me because I remind them of the bully.
Right.
I remind them of the bully they lived with on whatever block they're from. And so I think that's why they also want to make sure they let me know that times have changed.
Well, I'm not afraid of you anymore. I don't know you.
I never met you, sir.
Yeah. Posehn used to talk about that when he was on Just Shoot Me. Like a guy came up to him in Vegas and was just like, started going like, and he's like, what the fuck are you doing? He's like, you irritate people on TV, so I'm irritating you.
Oh my God.
That's why he started wearing like those hats that kind of covered his face.
That's really fucking.
That's so ridiculous.
What a strange mission that guy was on.
Here it is. It's time.
Yeah, there's all kinds out there. Some very, very
creepy customers. I think
creepy customers is the best description of like
what was it?
Random weirdos.
Creepy customers.
Hey, well, you're a real creepy customer, aren't you?
Well, but I think it's also because you come across very confidently, and so I think sometimes people it empowers them to like think like I gotta knock this oaf down a peg.
That's right.
Know?
Yeah. I get, and that's where it comes from. I do think that because I had some lady the other day approach me. I was at a charity event, and she came up and she goes, I don't know who you are, but my friend thinks you're big shit.
My aunt did that to him at my wedding and then slapped him in the head.
She did.
Yes.
I thought we weren't going to talk about that anymore.
it's been a year.
It's
and
been
half.
A while. Yeah.
And so I want to hear about this, but
just in a nutshell, she was drunk. Okay. Allegedly. She drank a lot of booze.
Yeah.
And But it was in retrospect, it's a hilarious story because it was one of those stories where it's like when someone gets in your face and they go, you're upset because I don't know who you are. I'm like, I really don't. I mean, and it went on for like an hour of me going, she kept finding me. I'm like, I know you're mad because I don't know who you are. I go, I really don't. It doesn't bother me.
In the least.
I don't mind.
Yeah. In the least.
And but then what you are kind of bothered about is like a drunk person is wagging their finger in my face.
Yeah.
And that's kind of bothering me. But that it's being mistranslated as, you know, yes, you, I don't.
You're upset.
I don't. You're upset. Yeah. And so for some reason.
But you're in a no win situation.
I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
And it's Jonah's aunt. And it's wedding. At his wedding. And so I'm just trying to be like super like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's totally. Totally cool, yeah. You know. And then we devoted an entire podcast episode to this, so I think we called it Aunt Slappy.
And she heard it too.
Yeah. Afterwards, you were like, "Guys, we probably shouldn't talk about this anymore." But here we are. Now it's later.
Longer and then,
so at a certain point in the night, I don't know what inspired this. She fucking hauled off and like whacked me like across the side of the face and the head.
Did people react?
Well, her husband was there and he was just kind of like, okay, let's just go over here.
Yeah.
And then I snapped, but not in a way where I really said anything, where I just think I was just like, I'm leaving. Because I just didn't want to make a scene or anything.
Of course. Fight or flight. You got to go.
I flew. Yeah.
You had to.
And then her takeaway from that was like, he was upset because I didn't know who he was. not that she
That's so unfair. Yeah. It's so unfair.
When I heard about it the next day, I tweeted my uncle, who's like a real mellow dude. Like, you know, first 12 years of his life in Hawaii, then he moved to Santa Cruz. So okay. Real mellow dude. Sure. But then like, I said, hey, you did... Did Aunt Heidi like slap my friend / boss? And he was like, yeah, she has fun.
Just having fun.
Oh, but those are the hardest ones too.
Yeah. You can't. But I feel, you know, at this point, I feel no responsibility. In most cases, I will try to caretake people.
Yeah.
And if they come up and if they're nervous or whatever.
Sure.
Or even if they're like, I don't like you. It's like, hey, cool. No problem.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of different flavors make up the.
That's, you don't exactly. like that stuff. That's okay.
Yeah,
that's
fine. I'm not for everyone. I get it.
Yeah.
But when it comes to drunk people in my face, I'm very much like,
I don't deserve this.
Yeah, I'm not going to listen to this.
I didn't do anything to you.
Yeah.
I didn't do a thing to you. And forgive me for trying to entertain you.
Yeah.
Forgive me. My biggest sin was trying to entertain you. I'm sorry if you hate me for that.
Yeah.
But that lady came up and she was all about that. She's, I don't know who you are. And I think she might have had one foot in the bag too.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
And she was, I don't know who you are, but I guess you're big shit because my friend wants to have a picture with you. So I was like, that'd be fine. I'd love to take a picture. No problem. You know, take the picture. And then she just had to keep reminding me that she didn't know who I was.
Yeah.
Then she goes, but then she came back. And I, you know, is that on the reapproach where you're like, oh God, please don't let this happen.
Yeah.
She goes back. She goes, well, apparently you're in this thing. And she goes, I guess I saw it. I don't remember it. Just constantly reminding
that's where you. That's where you run to her apartment, grab her cat by the throat, hold in front of her, snap its neck, and go, you know who I am now?
You'll never forget me.
You're never going to forget me. And then you just don't blink. Yeah. You just throw the cat at her.
Yeah. But and we don't have a choice because we can't fight. We can't fight.
No.
Well, so that's out of the that's off the table. So what can we do? Fly.
Well, there's so
that's why we're always fleeing the scene.
There's people are like,
he stayed benefit. For about 2 seconds.
Oh yeah, look at the big shot.
Yeah,
can't hang out with us.
He's big time at us. Yeah, he can't even stick around.
The guy from the thing, I think.
Unless someone like gets physical with you first, there's no benefit to engaging.
Yep.
It's never gonna play out. Like even if you are able to best someone.
Yeah.
In the fisticuffs, it doesn't. You're still engaged, and you still have to. It's still a thing. And
nothing good can come from that.
Nothing good comes of it.
Nothing.
So the best thing you can do is just sort of be a politician about it and be like, "Well, I'm sorry you feel that way."
But that's
and then leave them. And you know, also, the mature thing to do is just. Leave them with their bullshit because they're clearly not happy.
That's it.
And they just want to infect you with bullshit. And if you don't, then they're left with it.
Totally. Because it's their projection.
Right.
It's their misery being projected onto you. That's all. So I'm with you. Leave them in there to bask in their own misery.
But what is it about like being in comedy that makes people so upset? That like it's like that it's like
comedy's very personal, and when you're making fun of things, you're going out on a limb, and then they can like you can really offend. And then
no,
they
but
can
not even that.
Back.
Like it's like you know we've all been in the situation where someone's like, oh, he's like a comedian, and then people go, oh yeah, like it's like they don't go, oh, that's great.
Well, comedy's a very self-indulgent pursuit.
Yeah, exactly.
But also, I think you know, I don't have any problem if someone says,
you know, very calmly and even respectfully, like, you know, I just didn't really care for that thing, or it's just not my style, or, you know, I don't really understand it. Like, no problem. And we can either talk about it, or I respect that you have that opinion.
Yeah.
But when people are insulting and you're like, hey, you know, like, it's not... That doesn't mean that you can't take criticism. It just means you can't take someone being fucking rude.
And I agree with you. I'm an audience member too. You know, that's how I view my. I'm an audience member too. And there's some styles of comedy, and there's some comedians that. Here's the thing. I respect all comedy because I know I'm on the other side, and I know how hard it can be and stuff. But so I respect all of it. But something I prefer other flavors over other flavors.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
And that should be everybody. So I get that aspect of it. What I hate though is that we are forced into being politicians. You know, because as comedians, we should let it roll. We should tell people to suck it, and you know, and if they want, you know, if they want to engage, whatever. But I find that it's getting harder and harder to do that. I find myself being very, very political, and well, all just, my tweets are very political.
Yeah,
like I,
would, yeah.
I, you know, I just get to the point where I'm like, "Have a good day."
Yeah.
Well, because
leave it alone.
How many times do you like type something out, then just delete it?
Yeah.
You're like, I don't want to deal with whatever comes after.
You have to ask yourself: is everything that follows going to be worth it?
Yeah.
And it's usually never worth your time and your energy.
Yeah.
You just sort of let someone kind of do their own thing. I had a fun one with it was sort of like people correcting you for with Dumb and Dumber 2.
Yeah.
Was on the show last week. Just I don't know. I was just being silly, and I said Oregon because it was just a fun way to say it. Just like you would say Los Angeles.
Yes.
Bunch of tweets. Yo, bro, no one ever taught you how to say Oregon? I'm like, all right, it was a joke.
Wow.
I was just being silly.
That's so fatiguing, though. It's fatiguing because then it gets in your head, because then the next time you come down the road and you're feeling playful and you want to do something playful, you know, you just go, yeah, it's not worth it. I won't do it.
Give a shit.
Yeah. You know? Or you have to tune everything out and just say, suck it. You know, I'm gonna do it this way. And, you know, you want to pipe in. I've gotten very good at ignoring and blocking.
Yeah.
Ignoring and blocking. That's all I do. Because, you know, any ounce of hate, I'm just like, well, you don't need to follow then. You don't need to, you know, go away.
Yeah.
You know, that could I'm going to pitch you a sports sketch.
Lay it down. I'll take it.
you basically start describing all these things of like blocking and tackling and what do you think is happening, and then it's you think you're talking about the football game, but it's revealed that you're actually just dealing with your own Twitter feed.
I love it.
And you're not referring to the game, the football, at all.
I love it.
You're just obsessed with your own Twitter feed.
I have wanted to do a sketch for a while though that did involve Twitter somehow and just post some of the tweets that we get. But at the same time, I don't, here's the thing, like I'll retweet sometimes, but I won't put their handle, their address. Because I don't want them, because what they want, that's what they want.
That's what they want. Yeah.
They want me to retweet their thing saying something terrible to get the reaction. So I won't put their handle on there. I'll just retweet and I'll put in quotes what they said. And then people will write back and go, hey man, don't you know how to RT? Don't you know? I'm like, no, I know exactly what I'm doing.
Actually, if you want to fuck with them even more, retweet them, but just get their name wrong by one letter. That'll fucking make them so mad.
Because they're dying for that.
They're dying for the attention. They're dying for the attention.
I like that.
There could be sort of a fun like Twitter play-by-play thing where it's like here's the offensive and here's the defensive line, and then you kind of do the chart.
Oh, yeah.
The in-air chart. Come on,
this stuff.
I don't know anything about sports, but I do know
X's and O's.
I know X's and O's.
There you go.
I know drawn on a screen.
There you go.
Is John Madden still doing stuff?
No.
Oh.
I think he's retired.
Is he?
Yeah.
Yeah, he retired from appearing on video game boxes.
That's it. No more.
That's why, like, the last like couple years he was even around.
Yeah, well, he's so, you know, he's a very large man and he's so animated.
Yeah.
And he was always angry on the sidelines when he was coaching, you know. He was just this big animated character, so I hope he's, wherever he is, I hope he's just resting and being calm.
Yeah, just finally relaxing.
You know. And enjoying something.
Well, that is, I mean, aside from the players sort of having a rough go after they retire, of just getting, you know, knocked around all the time.
God.
But even if you're just on the sidelines, I would imagine the emotional strain.
Yeah, because they're invested. You know, they're invested heart and soul, those coaches, you know. And, you know, winning and losing determines whether or not you have a job. So, I mean, the stakes couldn't be higher for them.
Besides just being probably very naturally competitive and wanting to
and win. Type A personalities, and, right, you know, yeah, driven and they thrive on the competition. They need it almost like lifeblood. So, yeah, I imagine these guys are wired very tight.
Someone was trying to explain to me once, it was recently, they were saying, because it was about, I got my mom tickets to the UCLA game, one of the UCLA games, because she's huge, loves college football.
Oh, nice.
And someone was saying to me, yeah, you know, UCLA has some of the most amazing players they've ever had, but they're not winning the way they should be because something's happening in the coaching. And I don't understand that. Like, yeah, if the players are good, why? Like, what is it about how they're not being directed? And this is just because I don't understand how the game works. But does that make any sense?
Yeah,
to you?
Yeah, sure. You can have the greatest players in the world, but if they're not working together as a unit, you know, because everybody has responsibilities on the field. Mm-hmm. If they're being coached in a way where the coach, because you know, you have backfield coaches, you have line coaches, you have all these different coaches, and if they're giving the wrong messages or they're not making the team gel, then you're going to get less results. You're going to get less return on investment.
Like a conductor for a symphony.
Yeah.
It's like it's up to them to kind of like make the entire orchestra be a unit.
I guess that makes sense. Yeah.
Or a director for like let's see, like you're in TV, right? So like a director for a television show, if one of those elements, the television?
But those are, but those like, are, you know, when you see those movie, are excellent analogies. Yeah. They really are, because a director or a conductor, any of those folks, they're trying to make it all come
together.
That
was a really dumb question. Yes.
No, not at all.
Let me just flip the gears in this bike so I can backpedal out of here.
No, it was a good question.
We came up with some pretty good analogies.
Yeah. Hey, you're doing great.
I should just sit down and watch a football game once and really try to understand.
Maybe Chris should give it up for himself sometimes.
I'm no Jonah Ray. I can't just pat myself on the back willy-nilly.
You're sure not, but you got to give it up for me for trying to make you feel better.
Wow. He found a way. Yep. And God bless him for doing that, John. That was gold.
Nature found a way.
You got to try it when you got my low self-esteem, friend.
You got to tell other people out loud how much you like yourself. Otherwise, how are you going to believe it?
How am I going to
convince myself otherwise?
How?
What else has been going on?
Man. What else has been going on?
Are you doing any live local shows? Are you doing anything at UCB or anything?
I still do shows over at the UCB.
You weren't at the opening night thing, were you?
Yeah.
You were?
Yeah.
Man, I think it was hard to see anybody there.
Yeah, well, I got there early. I mean, I got there like at 5:30, and then I stayed till about 10.
Yeah.
You know, and then I was like, I got to go.
I saw pictures from 4 in the morning.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. People were still doing it. But, I still do shows at the UCB over on Franklin, the Facebook show with Rob Hubel and Paul Scheer and Jack McBrayer and Seth Morris. We all were a group together back in New York at UCB there.
What a dream team.
They're good guys.
What was your group called?
Respecto Montalban.
Oh, you were Respecto Montalban.
Yeah.
Was Donna in that too?
Yes, Donna Fineglass and Daniel Snyder. And
the director-writer guy. He wrote Old School. Wasn't he in it? What's his name?
Scott Armstrong.
Yeah, Scott Armstrong.
Yeah, no, he was in... God, I should know this. It's not Mother. Maybe it was Mother.
No,
Herve a Chuckle?
Was it Robin Williams?
No, it wasn't Robin.
Because was it like a group called Robin Williams?
Oh. No, it wasn't Robin. I thought it was Mother.
Could have been Mother.
Maybe I'm wrong on
I think John Daly was in that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Anyway, I'm sure I'm going to get a text from Scott saying, you jerk, it was this.
Yeah. How did you
forget this?
I fucked your mom.
What?
Hey, hold on. Yeah.
This is crazy.
Come on. She's a nice lady. Why do you have to drag her into this?
But yeah, so on Wednesday nights at 9:30, if I'm in town, I'll be there doing that show. I can't get enough. I love improv. It's part of, it's lifeblood. You know, you got to get out there and do it whenever you can.
I'm starting back up.
What?
Yeah,
good.
Taking a little refresher. It's been years, but I did this show recently where it was like, it's called Stand Up Versus Improv, where it's like stand-ups do a set. Uh-huh. Like improvisers do like a little scene. Yeah. Then the stand-ups do a set. Then the improvisers do some stand-up.
Okay.
And then the comics from the show come and do improv.
Oh, wow.
And it's at UCB, and it was like, I was like, kind of like, I was like, stand-up was fine. And then like I did the improv scene.
with like Maria Bamford and another guy, and it was just so much fun.
Right,
give it up for you, huh?
No, I was just saying.
That's how
I was just trying to go out on a limb.
That's how I ended up starting in stand up. Was back in New York when I was on the Daily Show. I used to drag John Oliver, because we shared an office together. I used to drag him down to UCB on Sunday nights to do ASCAT with me.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's a great comedian and he's a funny guy, so he knows his way around a bit.
Yeah.
But he's not necessarily, you know, he didn't really have any improv training.
Should I be yes anding this?
That's it. That's
now.
It. But he's sharp enough that he knows, you know, he's.
Yeah, yeah, he can rip.
He knows comedy. So he would come down and do that, and he would go, okay, now you got to come do stand up with me. And I'd be like, I don't know anything about stand-up. I don't do it.
Yeah.
And so he was like, well, I'm going down to the slipper room or the piano room or whatever, you know, any of these rooms. And I'm doing some sets, and you're coming with me, and you're going to tell a three-minute story. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
So I went down, and that's how I started building a set, was wow. I would just kind of go with him around town, and I would tell a five-minute story or tell a three-minute story. Some of it would be true, and some of it I'd make up, and you know, and then yeah. I just kept building and building and building, and eventually I got built up a set.
That's
so
awesome.
I give John Oliver a lot of credit.
By the way, how great is he doing on his show?
That show is fucking incredible.
It's so great. He's such a good guy. He even sent me a text today saying Happy Veterans Day. He's a good man.
Oh man,
he's a good man.
I was such an idiot because I. You know, when he left to go to HBO and then Colbert announced, I was like, oh, he could have had that slot. You know, he's going to go to HBO. He's going to be there just on an island because it's just his show. He's going to be out there by himself. How's he going to get an and then immediately, show's amazing. He's amazing.
Yeah, it's so good.
He has a strong voice.
He really does.
And you didn't, I don't, you know, as a correspondent, you know, it's John's show. You play your part. You do your thing. I don't think people realized, oh, this, you know, John Oliver's got some opinions and he's got something to say.
He's great. I really like John.
And like the writing on it is so sharp because it kind of does that thing that South Park does where like they tackle an issue, but they talk about all the different, you know, aspects of it, all the different sides and all the people's opinions. And he still has his opinion there and his voice.
Yeah.
But like he still like with respect shows how other people could think otherwise about certain issues. And it's fucking great.
Well, anytime you can present something fair and funny, you're going to win.
That's it.
And I think that's what he does.
Yeah.
I think he does a great job of it. Yeah, I have a lot of respect for him. He's just a good man in general, too.
Yeah.
So.
Is there a specific type of show that you would ever want to do? If someone's like, here's your own show, what do you want?
I would love to do, a narrative piece, you know, like, you know, scripted comedy. I think that would make me very happy. I'm working on a show right now with Steve Healy. For Fox, so we'll see what happens, and
nice.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm excited about it, but I like being a comedic actor, and any opportunity I get to do that, I'm going to jump at it.
Are you? Do you prefer? Well, you know, it's to say, like, if you do prefer a movie or TV, like a lot of TV shows are essentially shot like movies now, so it's sort of like, does it really matter where people?
Yeah, because the single camera world now, you really, it does feel like, you know, you're shooting a film, especially because you're working 12-hour days. You know, these single camera shows, man, they grind it out.
Yeah.
Their seasons are long and hard. And I've been fortunate enough to do single camera shows and also multicam studios, you know, on sets. And, you know, when I did the multicam show, you know, we showed up at 10 a.m., and we were wrapped by 3.
Jeez.
And we were all, you know, I even felt guilty. I'd kind of loiter around the set. Do you want anything?
Should I clean up?
Yeah. Literally. Because I felt like I shouldn't leave yet. It was too easy. And then, you know, you go do a single camera show and you're there for 12 hours and it's exhausting.
Oof.
And then you come back the next day for 12 hours and then the next day for 12 hours.
Yeah.
And
shoot it a bunch of different ways.
Exactly. So it's, but anyway, yeah, film or television. I just want to be a working actor.
Do you? I would imagine you still. Do you not have to audition for stuff anymore? Do people just offer you stuff at this point?
Lately, I've been getting offers.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's nice. It's really nice. But it's really nice because I'm a terrible audition.
Yeah,
I'm a shitty audition. And it's so funny. I remember one time I was sitting there lamenting that I had to go audition. You know, and I was like, oh, I got this audition. And I forget where I was, but Busy Phillips was there, and she was awesome. She goes, I love to audition. And I remember thinking, what? Nobody loves to audition. And I just, I don't know what it was, but her confidence. She goes, I love to audition. I love going in there and kicking ass and da 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 da. And I remember thinking, God, that's so the right attitude to have. What? I am such a douche. I sit around and lament that I have to go audition. My whole mindset was wrong. So I kind of recalibrated based on that conversation. And I don't even know if she knows that she had that effect on me. But I remember thinking, she's got the right attitude. I'm being a puss here.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, fucking suck it up, Riggle. Let's, you know, change your thought here. And I started going into these things like, yeah, you know, kind of, you have to pump yourself up.
Yeah.
You know, these are speeches I had in the car with myself before. In my Passat going, you can do this, Riggle.
Yeah. Not about that, it's about you.
Exactly. Yeah. No? And then, but it did. It had an effect, and I started to get. It started to become fun.
Well, there's no way it's not going to if you're. I mean, because you have such a limited amount of time in a room that when you don't realize it, they're picking up whatever energy you're throwing out.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so if you seem sort of like, you know, a lot of times they're gonna get that.
Right. If you come in there, and I've actually produced on some shows, so I've actually sat on the other side of casting.
Yeah.
And I see people, and I'm like, oh God, I do that.
Oh,
don't. And I'm like, note to self, never do that again. You know, because it doesn't matter. Because you do. When people come in, you kind of pick up and you on their energy. And some people come in just straight up defeatist.
Yeah,
just come in and like, I hate being here. I hate you. But I'll read this.
I mean, yeah. if you want to do this, yeah. I guess. Why'd you even come in the room?
Exactly. Exactly. Commit to it or don't. Like improv. That's the thing I love about improv. Is there's no right or wrong. There's only commitment or non-commitment. You either commit or you don't commit. Yeah. But, you know, there's no right
or wrong. As opposed to, which is a subtle psychological tonal shift, as opposed to be funny, be funny, be funny. No, just commit, commit, commit.
Yeah.
Which the result will hopefully still be what funny. You want. Yeah. But yes.
The writing is there to be funny.
But it's that's better. Right. It's just that's a grippier thing to hold on to.
Absolutely.
No matter what you're doing, just commit.
Commit to it. Commit to it. Whatever it is, if it's the straight man. You know, like in Dumb and Dumber, I'm not the funny guy. I'm the straight man. But to me, because I'm such a fan of comedy, you know, everybody on screen can't be crazy.
Yeah.
It doesn't work. You know, you need a straight man. And
right.
And if you have a good straight man, everybody else pops.
Yeah.
And it serves the comedy. So I'm very proud to play the straight man. You know, I think that's if you do it well, things pop. It's a good thing.
Yeah, definitely. I think like as far as like performers, like Ian Roberts might be one of my favorite. Like
best.
Seeing him like when he does improv, just like it's like, wow, you like initiated a scene, but you remain the straight guy.
Yeah.
Like you created a funny, ridiculous character in somebody else. And now
somebody else gets to play that.
Yeah.
And that's what a gift.
Yeah.
What a gift he's just given
it's
to
insane.
Everybody in the room.
Well, that's when comedy is working the best. When everyone is working to service the community bit. Of people on stage and not just. Trying to
not to get your joke in,
not to get your joke in, which is funny because I guess on one hand you'd think, oh well, then I get the big laugh, and it's like, yeah, but you've sacrificed a much bigger
scene.
Yeah,
that would be 10 times more satisfying if you would have played your part of that scene.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's a tricky thing to learn because you do when you're on stage, you are there for enjoyment and laughter, and you are trying to entertain the audience. So you do have to make decisions, especially in improv. You have to make decisions, and you know you want to be straight, but at the same time, now would be a good time for something funny. So you say something funny, and you can do that without sacrificing, and it allows it to grow. And we could talk about improv for days.
No, but
I'm actually leaving here to go to a.
And you said Ian Roberts yesterday. I was with Ian.
Oh no!
And he's one of my favorite guys in the whole world. And he probably gets tired of me because when I see him, I get like a child who sees Santa Claus because I see him and all I want to do is go up to him and do bits.
Yeah.
So he'll go, "Hey Rob, how's it going?" I go, "Fuck!" You know, I'll come up with something bizarre. You know, like just something ridiculous. And he's so great because he'll instantly slide into straight guy. You know, he'll be like, "Oh, that's terrible, Rob." You know, but whatever it is, I just do. All I want to do is bits with him. And I'm sure he's like. I really just want to know how you're doing.
I'm good, Ian. I just, you know, I feel weird because I keep seeing my friend Ian Roberts and I just want him to do bits with me and I feel like he's not into it half the time. Why would you think he wouldn't be into it? I don't know.
See? See? Yeah. Well, that's what I did yesterday. I shot a little segment on Key and Peele. So I did that yesterday, which was great fun because Ian's the showrunner for Key
right.
and Peele. I love that show, and I was very, very happy that I got to be in an episode finally.
Yeah, they're amazing. I really
you know what people I don't think people truly appreciate look, they're great comedians, they're unbelievable writers, but they are great actors.
Yeah.
And I think that's why their stuff is so phenomenal.
Yeah.
And if you ever speak to either of them individually,
yeah,
you realize they're how fucking smart they are.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Almost, I mean, and they're not, they don't act in a way that's intimidating, but yeah, they are intimidatingly smart.
Sure.
Yep.
And so it's, I'm so happy for those dudes.
Yes, me too.
And so they really figured out, you know, how to sort of slide stuff over onto the internet and build the audience for the show and just consistently, you know, just consistently be funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's fun to.
I got to work with Key on Jay Moore's show that Gary Unmarried. We were on that show together for about 9 episodes.
Oh wow!
And so that's when I first met him. Was back in 2009, and I knew back then that this guy was talented because he could do voices, and he could come in and out of things, and he could play straight man, he could play low status, he could play high status. You know, he's got the whole tool bag of acting and comedy. And Jordan, I just knew from the comedy world, you know, just bound UCB and stuff. And but I didn't spend a whole lot of time with him. And then, of course, last year we did Let's Be Cops.
Right.
He was in that. And I'm talking about Key now. So,
well, just as a fan of comedy, it's fun to watch people like solidify their voice and then kind of blow it up.
Yeah.
Like it's fun to watch that click into place.
Absolutely.
You know that it's a very hard thing to achieve, mm-hmm, and you really appreciate it when it happens. Yeah. And it's really fun to watch that happen.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
This is fantastic.
When's another episode of what was your podcast called?
Give It Up.
Give It Up for Me.
Give It Up for Me with Jonah Ray.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I meant to say Jonah Ray's Give It Up for Me with Jonah Ray.
Do you do a podcast?
I don't. I don't. I would love it, but I haven't done it yet.
You got family.
Yeah. I got. Yeah.
This
got,
is our family. This is what we devote to kids.
And friends. Instead of having friends now, we just this is how we hang out.
It sounds like it takes up a lot of your time. It really does. Really taxing.
It's very taxing.
Really taxing.
Yeah, it's very taxing.
Maybe I'm happy with my decision. I'll be honest.
Imagine.
But it's so worth it.
Imagine the dynamic.
It's so worth it,
Ron.
Is it, Jonah?
It's just at the end of the day. You know, this is the most important thing, you know?
Imagine the dynamic of Thanksgiving twice a day. Every week. You know, like...
Oh, when every fucking syllable makes you want to...
Just cut the turkey! You know? We care about your problems! I get it! Post office sucks!
Yes!
Pass the wine!
Please stop narrating things you see! Wine glass... Whoa, airplane, street sign.
That's old people. People do that.
They love to do
they
that.
They love that.
You run out of things to say after a while. And when you get to a certain age, I believe that's all you can really think of.
Well, and everything, I think when you get to a certain age, it's all been said. You've heard it all.
Yeah.
You've heard every opinion on earth. You've read everything you're going to read. I think you just get to a place where you're utterly bored.
I think you're just reminding yourself that you still know things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What else do you have to talk about?
And young people are so full of themselves, too. You know, they're like, well, let me tell you about the economy. And then they, you know, and you're like, oh, my God.
It's fun.
You know, so I'm sure.
That's a fun slide from, let me tell you about the economy, too. Street sign. Like, yeah. It's just the slide into that where you're just identifying. Like, we all need to identify things to feel like we're connected with the world.
I guess.
Let me tell you about the economy. Do you have a job? No. But.
No.
No.
But I know. But anybody with a brain knows.
I've been putting on my Instagram a lot lately. It's like pictures of the Wall Street Journal.
Just pictures of them?
Yeah, because of the economy.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Like articles or?
Yeah, they do those arrow graphs that are really cool.
They're always pointing up.
Always pointing up.
So don't let them tell you that, you know, we're not doing well.
Because we're doing up is good.
I know that.
Up is where Jesus is.
And that's where the clouds are.
That's where the clouds are up. The movie Up was sad but good.
Planes don't just go on the ground.
They don't go on the ground. They go up and then they come back down. But then they go up again. They go up again.
So, I like how it bleeds out.
I got.
It just turns into a steady.
And then the drool starts coming out of the side of the mouth.
I'm like,
God. And I think old people just, I think they just had it.
Yeah.
I think that's why you know, they don't talk much. They move slow. Everything, everybody can pound, you know, everybody can go away.
Yeah.
You know why? Because at a certain point in your life, you just don't want to go out on a limb anymore and get smacked down.
Yeah.
That's such a sad way of thinking
about
that.
No, you don't. Who has the energy at a certain point?
Yeah. You but know? Also, I do love the old people that are done with manners and done with, yeah. or not manners, like they have manners, but
pleasantries.
But pleasantries, yeah. and they're done functional. With. They're done with the. You know, we all play the social games of. You know, if somebody came in here right now and did something inappropriate, but it was for real. It wasn't a bit. We'd all. You know, we'd probably just be a little uncomfortable, and then we'd, you know, find a way to get out of here, or extract ourselves, or maybe somehow shoo them away, or but we there's a polite dance that they old people just don't do anymore, which I kind of dig. They're like, "What the hell is your problem?" You know, they'll just put it out there.
Yeah, exactly.
I fucked your mom.
Oh, come on.
You know, there is the game. There is this sort of game of the like the undeniable validation game where it's they're identifying everything. Because you can't deny it. It's you have to tell them they're right. Hey, buddy, sweater. You're wearing a sweater.
Yeah.
Yeah, got a sweater on.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah, I am.
No, it's a sweater, all right.
Uh-huh.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yankees win. Did they?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You better you can look it up.
Yep.
It's in the paper today.
Yep. Maybe that's it. Maybe when you're young, it's like you act like you know everything.
Yeah.
And then when you're old, you realize you don't know anything, so you only spout off facts.
Yeah.
Like your sweater, huh?
Yeah.
Cold today, eh?
Yeah.
Just like it's like anything you say is just something that's happened.
It's undeniable.
It's undeniable.
It can't be refuted.
Exactly.
It can't be debated.
But here's the thing. Here's
it can't be debated.
Here's the thing is that a lot of times it's not even like they want to have a conversation about the thing.
Yeah.
You might go, got a sweater. Yeah, this sweater is actually merino. Well, street sign. And then like they just totally
they're moving on to the next thing.
Moving on to the next thing that you have to go, yep.
And maybe it's probably they want to contribute.
That's a
because I think people stop asking old people things.
Yeah.
You know, they stop asking their opinion after a certain age.
I'm sorry, is that a street sign? What's your goddamn problem? Of course it's a street sign.
You got eyes?
Jesus Christ.
Basically, what we're saying is young people and old people can go fuck themselves.
Yeah, seriously.
What was that? What was that old
ground? What was that Andy Daly
we got
character?
It figured out.
Where it's the old guy at a party, or it's like, hey, the economy's looking good. Would you get your head out of your ass?
Andy Daly's one of my favorite.
Talk about commitment to a character.
Well, he's one of the best. He's a UCB guy. We came up doing, we did a show together many, many years, like in the late 90s. Obviously, because of the late 90s, it was the real world.
Mm-hmm.
And I played this born again Christian Leviticus, who I ended up doing on SNL. And he played a serf from the Middle Ages who had time traveled to our house. And talk about such a specific character.
Picture him.
And he had, you know, he'd wear this like Holocaust cloak, you know, and he would walk around, but. He was so smart. He still is, but he's in that role. He was so smart because here he is in the 21st century, and he would talk about, you know, the world baffled him. You know, and all he wanted, and his whole mission in his life was just not to die from the plague.
Yeah.
You know,
was this an improv show? Or
yeah, it was totally improv. It was improv, and it was such a fun show. Danielle Schneider was in it.
She's great.
I mean, Andy.
She was my first teacher. She was my first teacher. She was like the first one of the first classes, the one that used to be opened up out here.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
It's like watching them discover like whatever the game of the scene is and then just like locking down on it.
Yeah.
And particularly with Andy, he comes up with angles that are – when you see them, you're like, of course, but they're not obvious right away.
That's why he's one of the best.
And he just fucking locks in and all of a sudden it's like discovering an emerald mine in your backyard where it's just like he just pulls all of this information out.
Yeah. I see that in improv a lot. Like I probably put myself more in, I'm more of a performer type. So what I bring to the scene is like a character.
Yeah.
A character performance. What Andy brings is both character and smarts.
Yeah, exactly.
He brings a wonderful perspective that, like, if you're in a doctor scene or whatever, he'll just, whatever, if he's the doctor or he's the patient, he just knows what to bring to it as far as just really real, authentic.
Yeah.
But yet, at the same time, things that seem obvious, but they're not, like you were saying. Oh, and it's so funny.
Oh! Any noise that he makes me laugh. I still...
Yeah, there's a lot of talented folks over there. A lot of talented folks. That open, when they opened the UCB on Sunset, just a couple of weeks, like last week, I went, and it was like a high school reunion. You know, because I've been doing UCB for 15, 16 years now.
Oh, wow.
And I just seen all these folks. It was so cool because some of them, you know, I haven't seen in 2 or 3 years, you know. And some of them, it's just so fun to see them because I think about all the shows and, you know, how young we were and how broke we were. And just, you know, and it's just fun. I don't know. Very reminiscent.
No, it was a very cool night. Just the amount of people that you're like, oh, yeah, I know a lot of these people. Like, it's like there's just so many people. Like, you know, I was in a class with him, and now that guy's writing on this show, and I was in a class with her, and now, like, you know, it's like it's just neat seeing everything.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's good to see people grow and get opportunities. And, it's neat. It's good. It's a good community, I think.
Yeah, it's a great. And that I think that the new space on Sunset is just going to create such.
I haven't seen it yet.
It's just killer. It's a college building.
Yeah.
It's just there's also like a cafe. And so now, like, all the classes are in the same room. So instead of, like, you know, hanging out with the people that you're just in your level in your class at some place off of Melrose or Sunset, now all these classes are going to be in the same spot. So and everyone's going to hang out in this cafe. So you're going to meet so many more people and know some. And, you know, I think the shows and the community is just going to get stronger and better because of it. It's incredible. It's just, like, it's overwhelming when you go there, like, how beautiful it is.
Yeah, it's a neat space. Really cool stuff.
Although, it's funny because I have a friend who's a comic who has done a bunch of shows at UCB. But we were talking about, like, I haven't performed there in a long time. And she goes, yeah. And the last time I went there, the people at the front door were just kind of like, she was like, they were just early improv students, like kind of snotty 22-year-olds.
Yeah.
Were just a little, you could feel the arrogance. It was like they were working at UCB. And she was like, hey, I'm here for the show. And they're like, who are you here to see? And she was like, I'm here to see the stage that I'm going to perform on. Like,
they sweet lady stage.
They were trying to give her a little bit of, like, you know, a little bit of the tude, a little bit of the youngster improv tude.
Oh, God. That's the worst tude there is.
I feel like...
Let me do a scene about the economy.
But I feel like the funny thing about that is that, you know, as an upperclassman or as a faculty, you could probably just look down and go... That'll get knocked out of you pretty fast. You know,
exactly.
Like in terms of the,
you
know, like having enough rough shows.
Yeah, stick around long enough. You're going to lose that.
You're going to lose that.
You're going to lose
that.
We
were all there. I get it. Yeah. I don't think I don't understand.
We all had a little cut in our strut early on.
Oh, you just look at them and you go, street sign, because you're old.
To them, we are.
Yeah.
Or at least I am.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, fuck. Let's talk about street signs now. Not about the economy anymore. Rob Riggle, it is a pleasure to have you here.
Thanks for letting me come on.
Dumb and Dumber 2 opened. By the time this goes up, Dumb and Dumber 2 will be out.
Yep.
Yeah.
So on Friday.
It's up this Friday, but we're posting this right after.
Perfect.
For that second weekend bump.
Yeah, that's what we need. The second weekend.
Second weekend podcast bump.
Yeah. I'm guessing just as many weekends on top as Guardians of the Galaxy. Calling it now.
Calling it now.
I hope so. God, you know, I saw that on a plane, Guardians of the Galaxy.
That's great.
So good.
I was blown away.
Yeah.
I loved that movie.
Yeah.
Like I haven't been affected by a movie in a while. That got me. I don't know what, it was the characters, it was the story, it was everything. The way they interacted, it was everything. I just got on board.
Yeah.
It got me.
I saw it twice in theater. I can't remember the last time I did that, where I was like, I want to go and see it again in the theater.
I saw it going to New York last week. I watched it coming back.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I was like, I want to see it again. It was that good. And it was just as good the second go around.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, Chris Pratt blew me away in that. I was so happy. So happy with that movie.
Yeah, me too.
Let's enjoy our burritos, everyone. And also let's...
give it up for me.
Give it up for Jonah.
Give it up for Jonah Ray.
Yeah, give it up for Jonah Ray. Thanks
Jonah
so
Ray's
much.
Give It Up For Me featuring Jonah Ray.
Thank you so much for saying that, Chris. It's really nice of you.
Music and lyrics by Jonah Ray.
Sarcastic.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, good for me for trying to make you seem like a nicer person, I guess.
No, good for you for sitting there and talking about yourself some more.
Don't try it, Chris.
Good for you for putting me in my place.
You know me. You know me.
Good for you for recognizing that.
Yeah.
Good for you for already being on your phone. We haven't even really ended yet.
Burrito.
No, but sometimes we talk after that, and you know that. What class do you have to go to?
The thing I was just talking about.
Well, I didn't know you were taking classes. I thought you were just doing improv.
No, I'm taking a little refresher course.
Get out of here, freshman.
All right. Oh, I'm not like Miguel.
All right.
Oh! I saw it. I did see it. Okay, I was good. Looking down, but I saw the peripheral.
Hold on.
Oh my God!
That was awesome.
No,
if you filmed it. If you filmed
if
it,
it wouldn't happen.
Jonah, that was
insane. Jonah Ray, once again, Jonah Ray. Jonah Ray.
Give it up for Jonah Ray.
No joke. Like,
firing on all cylinders here.
That was awesome. I think you added two cylinders and then started firing those, too. There's a very small trash can in the corner of the room. I threw my water bottle in. It was an amazing shot. A swish, if you will. Give it up for me. But I say that because then Jonah, who had his back to the trash can, who's almost as far away as I was, literally just threw it back over his shoulder, and it fucking, like, right in the center of the
And I
can.
I will attest to it. I saw it. It was truly amazing.
Yeah, I will also sign
All on. Right. Oh, thank God.
Giving it up.
Cool. Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
Welcome to the small town of Chinook, where faith runs deep and secrets run deeper. In this new thriller, available exclusively on Wondery Plus, religion and crime collide when a gruesome murder rocks the isolated Montana community. Everyone is quick to point their fingers at a drug-addicted teenager, but local deputy Ruth Vogel isn't convinced. She suspects connections to a powerful religious group. Enter federal agent V.B. Loro, who has been investigating a local church for possible criminal activity. The pair form an unlikely partnership to catch the killer, unearthing secrets that leave Ruth torn between her duty to the law, her religious convictions, and her very own family. But something more sinister than murder is afoot, and someone is watching Ruth. With an all-star cast led by Emmy nominee Sanaa Lathan and Star Wars Kelly Marie Tran, Chinook is available exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.